My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever. In the name of the loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As the Lenten sun casts long shadows, we stand poised at the threshold of an inward pilgrimage. It's a walk that invites us to step into the warm sandals of Jesus, to feel the grit of the dusty road beneath our feet and on our face, and to confront the stark reality of his suffering. We walk alongside him, not behind and never before, not as detached observers, but as vulnerable participants in his story. Mark's gospel throws the doors wide open, challenging us with the unvarnished truth. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. What confusion this must have wrought, and what surprise and alarm Peter must have felt. The cross in Jesus' time wasn't a polished pendant that we wear around our neck or a throw pillow on our sofa. It was not a decoration in our home or a bumper sticker on a car. This was no sentimental symbol. It was an instrument of excruciating pain, public humiliation, and agonizing death. To take it up is not a casual invitation, but rather a call to action that pierces through the layers of our comfort and demands a critical response. I read a commentary from Diana Butler Bass last week, an Episcopal theologian, historian, and scholar, one who is frequently mentioned in our adult formation time together. I confess she surprised me a little. She indicated she sometimes finds it troubling to focus on the violence and the pain of the cross. Of course, no one really likes to focus on those things, but I think we miss the godliness of it if we are unwilling or unable to place ourselves in the crucifixion, or we simply ignore what happened to Jesus before he died, or further, how he died, and our place in this narrative. I want you to consider this. At the arc of creation, God is present in it, among us. We get this beautiful passage in Genesis about God walking through the garden in the late afternoon breeze. Maybe a day much like today. God is with us. After the fall of humanity, read Adam and Eve's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. This shifted our relationship with God. It became more of an advocacy. Still a relationship, but God is no longer speaking with us, beside us, but to us. And then later, when we are still unable to listen and understand, he speaks at us. And then he quits speaking to us altogether and speaks only through the prophets, with a few notable exceptions. Then, when his sorrow became so acute in waiting for us to understand his love, to finally come to him, that nothing less than an offering of a portion of God's self would do, that is exactly what he did. He offered himself to us, the firstborn of all creation, the human prototype of who we are meant to be, of what we can become fully realized if only we will believe. Are we prepared to embrace the vulnerability inherent in being this human? Are we willing to acknowledge the burdens we carry, the sting of loneliness, the weight of violence, the scars of betrayal, or the gnawing fear of uncertainty? Like shadows cast by the setting sun, these burdens have the power to weigh us down, leaving us exposed and unguarded in the harsh light of reality. But here's the transformative twist, my friends. Embracing our vulnerabilities in the shadow of the cross can become a source of strength, not weakness. By acknowledging our own pain, we open ourselves to the healing grace of God, His tender touch mending the broken places within us. By sharing our burdens, we find solace and understanding in the compassionate embrace in the community of faith, this community. And by walking alongside those who suffer, we become vessels of compassion, pouring out the overflow of God's love into the world that so desperately needs it. Remember, Jesus himself did not shy away from his vulnerability. He didn't cloak his fear in stoicism or mask his pain with pride. He wept in Gethsemane. His humanness laid bare under the weight of impending suffering. He sweated blood, his vulnerability echoing the anguish of every soul facing its darkest hour. He cried out on the cross, his voice cracking with the raw desperation of pain. And yet, in his vulnerability, he conquered death. Through his suffering, he offered redemption. In his weakness, he revealed the ultimate strength of love. So during this Lent and beyond, let us not shy away from our own vulnerable spaces. Let us seek solace in prayer. As the psalmist David reminds us, pour out your heart to him, O God, our refuge. In moments of vulnerability, open your heart to God in prayer, allowing your fears to flow freely and your tears to find shelter and be wiped away in his presence. And I would argue, let him know if you're angry. Shake your fists at the heavens, shout it out loud, or if it makes you feel better and more appropriate, sigh underneath your breath and shake your head. That's what my dad would have done. It worked for him. Those are powerful prayers too. You think God doesn't know we're angry or have doubts? You think he's not listening or doesn't wish things were a little different? Come on. He knows the hairs on our heads. He has counted them one by one. He has named us at the dawn of time, and we are his. And we are not the actors that we think we are. Think of Jacob, the God wrestler who tussled with God and found his life forever transformed. Lent is the time for big emotions, for deep truth, for fear, for acceptance that we all fall short, but being honest about our love for Jesus and what that love will cost us. It's the least we can do. Find strength in community. Vulnerability shouldn't be a solitary investment. We share our burdens with trusted friends and spiritual companions or support groups, and it is in their empathetic eyes we find understanding and the strength to go on. Embrace vulnerability in service. Don't let our own pain blind us to the suffering of others. We must open our hearts to those who struggle, offering a listening ear, a helping hand, or simply our holy presence. And believe me, it is holy. By sharing our vulnerability, we create a sacred and safe space for others to do the same, fostering a circle of healing and compassion. Carrying the cross isn't just about enduring pain, it is about transforming it. It is about recognizing our own vulnerability as a pathway to deeper empathy, greater understanding, and ultimately a closer relationship with God. As the French philosopher Simone Weil wrote, to accept suffering is to accept mystery. And with suffering, everything begins. Remember, the journey with Jesus doesn't end at Calvary. It continues beyond the hill of skulls, down the mountain, and into the world that urgently needs the vulnerability and the love that we carry. We become living embodiments of the cross, not as symbols of defeat, but as beacons of hope, shining light on the transformative power of suffering and love. Even after Easter, the road may stretch out before us, long and winding, and the cross may feel heavy at times. Yet with each step that we take, hand in hand with our fellow travelers, we inch closer to the dawning light of a new day. We walk towards a future where vulnerability gives way to resurrection and pain is swallowed by hope. So this Lent and throughout our earthly journey, let us embrace our brokenness in the shadow of the cross. Let us trod the road to Golgotha with open hearts, knowing that even in our weaknesses, God's strength is made perfect in us. And may our transformed openness become living testaments to the love that conquers all, the love that shines brightest in the darkness, the love that carries us from the blood of the tree to the radiant dawn of eternity. May God bless us and guide us on this journey of truth and transformation. May our steps be steady, our eyes fixed, our hearts open, and our spirits strengthened by the knowledge that we are never alone. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Amen.